Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the journey has begun. The purple has come back out. Some of you even got the memo and have purple on your clothing today. It's okay if you didn't. It's not one of those requirements. Lent has begun, and we've begun this journey once again as we travel the way of Jesus to the cross and beyond. Lent has begun as in the world around us we see almost flowers beginning to come out of the ground. The trees beginning to put their buds forth. If not quite yet, we know that as the days get just a little bit longer and a little bit warmer, those things surely will be ours for the beholding. Lent has begun as we have embarked on this journey into an understanding of who we are and what it is that God has done for us. But perhaps each year, we ask this question of why should we travel this kind of journey? Why should we not, like the supermarkets and retail outlets, bring out the Easter festivities right away? Why should we not celebrate the gift of the resurrection each and every day? As if we don't, just by getting up and getting out of bed each morning. But why take this time to consider this journey, to consider our journey connected to the journey that Jesus takes as he carries that cross into that place where he knows what will happen, where he knows that death awaits along with the suffering? Why take this journey that we know will lead us to the place we most do not want to go? Why is something that permeates our whole existence, doesn't it? It's one of the first questions that we learn from ourselves and from one another, and it's one that is not foreign to the stories of the Bible. It's not something that God tells us not to ask, but actually through the Scripture seems to encourage us to reach deep inside of ourselves and of our community and ask these questions. Like with Adam and Eve today in the story from creation, the questions of why must it have played out that way? Or as we've heard today in the temptation of Jesus, why must Jesus suffer in quite this way? The story of Adam and Eve certainly brings up a lot of questions. At least it does whenever I'm in a group where people read of these stories once again, these ancient stories, these stories that do not propose to tell us how things happened necessarily, but something about ourselves living today connected to those who have gone before us. Why did God put that tree there anyway? People ask. Why, if it was such a risk or a temptation, why would God put that in the path of those two precious first people? Or where was God? Why did God go off to apparently do something else? Why was God absent from the people in that moment when God could have put God's hand between the fruit and Eve's mouth and say, no, do not, even as a parent would do the same if a child was about to eat poison berries? Really? It's just a piece of fruit. Why the big deal? And after all, what's so wrong with wisdom? Why this tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why should it not be something that people are availed of? Could it really do that much damage? Questions of why are many and perhaps longer than we could list, but there are no answers necessarily that come to these questions, only that the struggle that we face today when we are faced with the temptation to stretch outside of our means, to step beyond the bounds of where God has told us we might find joy and goodness and hope and love, when we are tempted to take matters into our own hands, well, we're not the first ones to have to face those issues, are we? In fact, these are situations that men and women and all of creation has been dealing with since the beginning of time. The story of the temptation of Jesus is similar. Why does Jesus have to go out into that wilderness? Why, according to some of the biblical translations, is Jesus propelled or thrust out into the wilderness by the Spirit? Pushed by God into this difficult situation. There's lots of ways to look at this story. Certainly the 40 days and the 40 nights recall the 40 years that the Israelites spent in the wilderness, a journey that took them into the depths of their sin and their willingness and ability to resist temptation. Certainly the image of wilderness brings about for us and for any reader of the Bible the image that Jesus is vulnerable. Jesus is not some sort of superhero, some sort of man of steel that is able to resist the effects of the elements of our world, but is in fact tender and fragile like our own flesh and blood. And certainly this story of Jesus confronting the one who has the power to take him to the heights of the mountains, but also to the depth of the grave. This story foreshadows for us the story that Jesus will ultimately live out, the story of going to the cross, facing that pain and enduring that suffering. The whys of our world are as many as our individual paths. Any of us could ask, why should my life have played out the way it did? Why did I have to endure the things that I had to endure in order to come to this place? Couldn't things have been different? Even if we, in general, think that our lives are pretty wonderful. Why does the pain of death or sickness or tragedy have to touch us? But the pain of Lent also reminds us that our journey ultimately leads to that cross, ultimately leads to that place where not only our participation in Jesus' sacrifice and death will define us, but also transform us and make us into something that even today God can use for good in our community, in our church, in our world, in all the ways that God finds us active. But why is there sickness? Why is there suffering? Why is there poverty and abuse and corruption and injustice and war? Why are these things part of our lives? Why indeed doesn't God step into our world and do something about these things and everything else that we would wish that God could snap his fingers and transform right here and now? Like the Adam and Eve story, like the temptation story, we probably don't have all of the answers. Only we know that God has put us on this journey. And God joins us in this journey, even though it's a journey that we cannot know the understanding of completely. We do not know where this journey is leading us, except that God is walking with us, except that Jesus has walked this journey before. Except that together God has given us to one another, that we might not walk alone, but walk together as one community of faith, one body of Christ, living and active and celebrating in our world. Jesus takes us to the grave. Jesus takes us to those places that we cannot understand, because those are the places that remind us most of the grace of God. Indeed, the grace of God that we cannot fully understand, but only know that it comes from God and it is real in our lives. And on we go. Like Adam and Eve, we're blessed to walk together from that day, from that fateful day of temptation, walking into the rest of their lives clothed not just by their own hand, but graciously by the hand of God, clothed well, reminded even in those clothings that God is with them, that God walks with them, that God surrounds them, wraps them in God's tender mercy. And as we face our trials like Jesus does, as we carry our cross and enter into the place of our own suffering and grave, there is a truth that we remember only by faith, that God will ultimately guide us to a place of hope and surety and wonder and blessedness. And so we say, even today, at the beginning of our journey, thanks be to God.